Hello, Grandview Church, and welcome to worship this week of July 19th, 2020. We are united by faith, knit together in the love of Christ extended to us through the Spirit, even in this time of physically being apart. So if you have a Christ candle that you want to light, I encourage you to grab that now. It is good to be together. My name is Jody Sparger, and I invite you to take a deep breath. And if you have a candle, now would be the time to light it. I'm going to light mine here. This candle is a reminder of Christ's presence with us. It is a prayer of mine that you would know the presence of Christ with you in the place that you are right now. It is a reminder that Christ himself said he was the light of the world. And the writer of Colossians gives us this beautiful image of what it means that we see the world through the light that Christ brings. He says, Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all of creation. I don't know what you can see around you right now, but I'd invite you to look around at God's good creation. For in Christ all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, things visible and things invisible. Christ is before all things, and in Christ all things hold together. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and is the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. So I want to just invite you, as we gather in this time, as we are mindful that we are made one by Christ himself, that we are united in that body, that mystical body of Christ, by the love of the Spirit that extends to each of us in the spaces that we inhabit. And as we enter into worship through song, we're going to hear Vanessa and Nathan lead us in "This Is My Father's World." I'd invite you to pick up your eyes and to look at the creation around you, wherever you might be, and to allow creation and this song to invite you into worship of the Creator of all that is, that you might know that even though we are physically distant from one another, that God is near and all around you. And that, in fact, the body of Christ is also brought near to you in the love of the Spirit that binds us all together. We enter now into worship in this way.
Thank you. shines in all that's fair. In rustling grass, I hear him pass. God speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, the heaven ring. God reigns, let earth be glad. The Lord is King, the
God is made visible in creation and in this body that we are a part of by the gift of the Spirit, the extension of the Spirit to us in love, uniting us with the Godhead itself. But all is not well in the world. And I know for many of us in these days in particular, we are wrestling with our complicity in issues of racial injustice. The news is filled with conversations about systemic oppression, racism, white supremacy. And we're trying to lean into those issues and to acknowledge and identify the ways in which sin still resides in the ways that we live in relationship to one another because of these systems and the ways that we participate in them. And some of you are having conversations through the group that Aaron Peters has put together. And there are some new resources on the blog for a conversation that's going to be coming up with parents and new resources that Melanie has gathered for those conversations for parents in particular with kids of various ages. But I want to take this moment just to pause and to confess that wise and loving God, you have created and are still creating a world that is rich with difference and with diversity. That you've created all people in your own image, showing an expression of who you are in unique ways. And we give you praise for that. And we also acknowledge that historical acts of injustice and oppression have been perpetuated against Indigenous communities, Black and Asian communities, even our very neighbors in this church and in our community, have been hurt in deep and profound ways. And we ask that you would forgive us, merciful God, for the times that we have failed to recognize racism in ourselves, in our church, in our society, the times that we have failed to take action. Would you forgive us, God, for our complicity in systems of privilege and power over those whose skin color, culture, or ways of seeing the world differ from those of the majority, even this day. Forgive us, compassionate God. And we know that in these same words coming from Colossians that we opened with, that we who were alienated from God because of our behavior have been reconciled to Christ's physical body through his death, that we might be presented holy in the sight of God. we receive that work of reconciliation and commit ourselves because of Christ's gift to us to being agents of reconciliation in the world, in big and in small ways, acknowledging first our need to be reconciled and extending that to one another in that spirit of both confession and of our desire for the renewing work of Christ in our world. I acknowledge that I am here on the unceded territory of the Squamish, the Musqueam, and the Tsleil-Waututh. And in acknowledging this reality, it's our longing that the reconciling work of God made manifest through the community of faith by the love of the Spirit poured out in us and among us might be bearing witness to that in change that would happen in our ways of inhabiting this space, of loving our neighbor and expressing our love of God. Today in our service, we get to hear the text of Jesus healing of some blind men busy on the road who call out to Jesus to save them, to heal them. As we prepare for the scripture reading and the sermon that is to come, it's on the text of two men who called out in loud voices to Jesus, longing for healing. And I would invite you today to bring the concerns that you carry, those that we've named and perhaps others that we haven't named, as you would bring them into your listening to this text and to Curtis's sermon, and that they would be a way in which you call out to God in a loud voice for the healing that is necessary in our world today. How is it we might raise our voices along with the voices of these two men of courage on the road?
Hi, I'm John David from the Evening Congregation. I'll be reading the scripture today from Matthew chapter 20, verse 29-34. Two blind men receive sight. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately they received their sight and followed him. This is the word of the Lord.
What is your favorite part of the story?
When the blind person could see again.
When Bartimaeus could see, yeah. And that's the same part for you, Nianna, yeah. Too. What do you think is most important about the story?
Helping people when they're sick.
Huh.
When they were helping people.
How do you think it felt for Bartimaeus to shout to get Jesus' attention when everyone around Bartimaeus was saying, shh? How do you think Bartimaeus felt?
Proud.
Proud, okay. Why do you think Bartimaeus didn't listen to the crowd? The crowd said, stop talking, be quiet.
I don't know.
Do you think that...
Maybe because he really, really needed Jesus.
Do you think that would be hard to ignore the crowd and keep shouting, or that'd be fairly easy?
Hard.
How do you think Bartimaeus felt, Gabe, when Jesus heard him and he stopped in the road and said, Bartimaeus, come here to me? How do you think Bartimaeus felt? Yeah, how come?
Because he maybe thought that Jesus would make it so he's not blind anymore.
What do you think the crowd thought? They've been saying, shh, Bartimaeus, be quiet. You're bothering us. We don't want you to shout. But Bartimaeus didn't listen to them. And Jesus healed him. What do you think the crowd thought then?
Surprise.
How do you think Bartimaeus felt when Jesus healed him? And he could actually see. Happy?
Yeah.
My first thing is just kind of like off the top of your head, your instinct. What do you think is important about that story? What do you notice about it?
They have to shout to get his attention.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of strange.
Why do you think that was strange? What about it do you think is strange?
Because Jesus is kind of like God. And he should know that they're already blind. And you have to shout to get his attention.
Do you think Jesus could hear them the first time? Or do you think he couldn't? It's a little hard to tell from the story.
I think he could.
You think he could? So then why do you think the crowd was being like, shh, be quiet, shut up?
Because it's annoying. I don't know.
Is it annoying to have someone yelling or?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think the two men felt when Jesus asked them, what do you want me to do for you?
Confused?
How come?
Because they thought that he already knew that.
You think they're expecting him to know what they needed?
Mm-hmm.
So, what if Jesus did know what they needed, but he asked them anyways? Why do you think he would maybe do that?
He did that. I don't know. Maybe because he needed them to speak out their problems, I think.
Actually say them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Can you think of anything in our world today or in your life or the life of someone you know where something needs to be healed or made well, but when someone asks for help, maybe when someone asks God for help, there's like a crowd that's just like, shh, be quiet. You're being too loud.
Racism?
I was kind of wondering about that too. I was thinking about the Black Lives Matter protests and the I Don't Know More and people like protesting and saying like things need to change. Yeah. So then what can you think of in that situation where some people would be like, shh, don't do this, be quiet?
I don't know any specific examples, but I'm pretty sure there's been some sort of person in power that's kind of like a racist person that's kind of like stopping the parades and stuff.
He just doesn't want that to happen.
Yeah.
So, Etienne, earlier you were saying about how Jesus knew what the people needed and God knows. So in terms of racism, and that really needs to be healed and changed in our society, and God knows that. Do you think Jesus and God have compassion on this world that needs to change?
Probably. I think so.
Yeah.
Yes.
What was that?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Why do you think we still need to ask for help for that? God knows.
Sort of like the same thing with the blind people.
Yeah.
Like, just so we can acknowledge our problems. and say them out loud sort of thing.
Anything about the story that you think is really important that people in our church should know or like be thinking about?
The fact how like the crowd was dressing the blind people up.
Hmm.
It was kind of sad.
So why is it important that we think about that?
Because we have to like figure out who is shushing up like stuff and sort of stop it and listen to the people need.
Hello, everybody. This is Curtis Peters here, and I get to walk us through a passage today from Matthew chapter 20. In our passage today, two blind men ask Jesus to give them sight. They are in Jericho, and Jesus is on his way out of town. A crowd is gathered, as they often did around this Jesus person. The two men hear that he was near and shout, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." Though the gathered crowd tries to silence them, they push through and call even louder, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." Jesus asks them something that seems obvious. "What do you want?" Normally, people in their position simply ask for charity, for a bit of coin to keep them going. But these two go bold. They ask for sight. You can almost hear the crowd's collective intake of breath at the audacious request. Jesus, though, is moved with compassion, touches their eyes, and gives them sight. They drop everything and follow him. We notice a few things in this short scene, a few different things. The crowd tried to silence the two men. They were seen as disruptive. The blind men called Jesus by an interesting title, Son of David. And Jesus had compassion on them instead of silencing them. He healed them, and they followed him. But this story doesn't make as much sense without its context. It's kind of like a you had to be there moment. You retell what you think is a funny story to a friend who wasn't there, and all you get is a pity laugh. I mean, they get the joke, but it doesn't land as well as you'd like. In the case of this healing story, you need to look back a bit. For a couple chapters now, Jesus has been challenging people with power to take a back seat. The last will be first, and the first last. Earlier in this chapter, Matthew 20, Jesus tells a story about workers, some who work a little and some a lot, but the boss pays them all the same. Those who worked the most were angry and felt this was unfair. But the last will be first, and the first last. In the very next scene, Jesus, seemingly out of nowhere, suddenly foretells his death and resurrection. He says that the important people in Jerusalem will execute him, and then on the third day he will be raised up. It's strange, but he predicts his path through suffering to glory. In order to be elevated, he must first be brought low. Feels a bit like last will be first, first last. Then after he predicts this death and resurrection, two of his disciples come to him with their mother. Like in our story of the blind men, Jesus asks them, "What do you want?" Well, they want to be glorified along with Jesus on his right and left, when he enters his kingdom, when he's glorified. They're jockeying for status. Status above what any other of the disciples might get. Now the rest of the disciples get a bit disgruntled when they find out what happened. Jesus' response? Those who wish to be great must serve. The last will be first, and the first last. So then we get to our story. Blind men are pretty low on the social ladder. They call Jesus Son of David. This is a royal term. They mean king. The low are calling on the high to help. Those who wish to be great must serve. Jesus heals them. They follow him. This is the kind of king that the outcasts long for. While Jesus' disciples were trying to beat each other to the top, Jesus concerns himself rather with these two men. But still, there are some things in the healing story that nag at us. Why does Jesus ask them what they want? Isn't it obvious? Maybe. Presumably, these men typically ask for money, rather than asking all random passersby if they can miraculously restore their sight. But certainly Jesus knew what they needed, right? If so, why bother asking? He has the men name their need, and it moves them to compassion. There's something about this. I mean, perhaps this encourages us in boldness to name our needs, our true needs, to God. But this is no simplistic prayer. Remember, Jesus pretty well rejected his disciples' request just before this story. Jesus, however, has compassion on the need of these men. Jesus sees pain and rejection and moves to heal. Jesus sees jockeying for power and says, "Give it up. The last will be first, and the first last." So how does this story land for us? We can take it in a few directions. We might place ourselves in the position of the blind pair, audaciously asking Jesus for healing. We all experience suffering at times, some more, some less. Some lots more, and some lots less. But Jesus sees our needs and does what needs doing. That might be healing. That might be a lesson in humility. Or it might be something else altogether. But still, we're encouraged to really name our needs. Or we might instead place ourselves in the position of the crowds. This is where I think I find myself more often. Here I am trying to silence the cries of those suffering because it is improper or it makes me uncomfortable. If only they could just address their needs more appropriately, more properly. Why do they have to make such a scene? I shush them and they yell all the louder. It sounds a lot like the cries of people of color in our society, having to yell because otherwise no one listens. They get silenced. It sounds like the suffering of those who are at the mercy of the fentanyl crisis. It sounds like those without safe shelter. It sounds like our LGBTQ siblings. It sounds like ecosystems collapsing. So, what do we do with all this? I mean, maybe the obvious thing to do, if you're like me, is stop shushing people. I should be centering those voices, helping to amplify them, joining my voice to theirs. Instead of jockeying for power, let's give it up. If you find yourself feeling more like this blind pair, name your need to Jesus. Jesus cares for you, has compassion for you. Loves you. Well, after this healing story, Jesus heads on from Jericho and on up to Jerusalem. When he enters Jerusalem, there's a crowd there. Not a crowd shushing people, but a whole crowd hailing the coming of a king who heals the broken. They shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David." That's the kind of crowd I hope to be in. Amen.
We are now entering into a time of prayers of the people. So join me as we pray. God of justice and compassion, we bring to you our concerns today. We pray for our world, our neighborhood, and ourselves. Jocelyn prays for all of those who are still feeling lonely and disconnected in this time and struggling to be or to stay well. She asks that God would nourish us all and renew us by the faces we do see, even if we may be far from others we love, and by the places we can't go, and that God would bring to our minds those who are feeling isolated and stir us to reach out. Dave and Lee pray for those struggling with memory loss and cognitive decline in old age, and for the families and loved ones and caregivers of these people. They pray for peace and a sense of God's nearness. Others pray for those who are looking for work or looking to change jobs. Another person prays for the constant level of anxiety that we all now carry because of pandemic-related changes and concerns. Another person prays gratitude for the warm summer weather. Another prayer is for safety and for life-giving times of fun and play while many people take holidays and trips. Someone else prays for our church staff and for our congregations as our community continues to navigate a time of profound change while trying to embrace a simple year. Another prayer is that God's upside-down kingdom would come and that we would continue to seek to be part of this work. Another prayer I received is for our neighbors, especially those who are elderly, people of color, or otherwise marginalized. You can now take a minute of silence to lift your own prayers to God. Together, let's respond to all of the prayers voiced, as well as those unspoken, and say together, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.
Hi guys, I'm Jenny Taves. I'm here to give you guys your announcements. This Sunday, July 19th. Just grab my little cards here. So the first announcement is Alex and Asher O have a trampoline in their backyard now. So if you want to enjoy jumping on the trampoline like they have with the sprinkler underneath, such a fun way to cool off, and you're comfortable with jumping on the same surface, and you want to go over and play, then talk to their mother. Next announcement. If you're interested in editing audio or video resources to be shared with the congregation, that would be very much appreciated. You don't have to have a lot of prior experience, but a good ear and an aptitude for technology is important. So if that is something that you think would be up your alley, then email worship@gcbchurch.ca. Next announcement. Monday, August 3rd, the church will be hosting a conversation for parents called Parents and Child Caregivers in the congregation are welcome to this discussion about race, racism, and anti-racism. So discussion around conversations you can have about that with your children. So they'll be meeting at 1:30 at the South Field of Trout Lake, Monday, August 3rd. There is a link in the website under events that you can look at for details, and there's two links to podcasts that you can listen to. One of them is called Seen on Radio, How Race Was Made. The other one is called But Why? A Discussion About Race and Racism. If you don't have time to listen to both of those, just come anyway. But if you can, they'd be well worth your time. That is it for your announcements today. Happy Sunday.
Receive this benediction. Now may the God of peace, our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good so that you may do God's will. Whether that's raising your voice in a shout to ask for healing, or resisting that inner urge to shush those around you. May God work in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
The first shall be last. 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 In God's kingdom. In God's kingdom. God's game.